Well, we've tried to enter this new year honestly and openly, and want to just come to these moments this month just as we are. We're talking about stopping some things in our lives. Last week, we talked about stop hurrying, stop running, and start experiencing the depth of life. Just because you're busy doesn't mean that you're busy about the best things in life and the most important things in life. And kind of step back a little bit and just kind of let God have God's influence and God's guiding hand in your life. And just realize that just your busyness doesn't necessarily please God, doesn't necessarily make you authentic. But what do we place at the in importance to those things that we need to be doing, but there are some things that we can let go of, things that we can slow down, step back from. Today we're talking about avoiding the things that we are afraid to face. I hope that you will find yourself somewhere in this time in which you find the courage to face something that you've been avoiding for a long time, and be able to do it with the help of God. And so there are practices in our lives that we're trying to stop, and we also want to talk about how we can replace those practices with those things that are Spirit-filled and Spirit-guided, so that we might thrive in life and that we might live the life that God intends for us to live, and that we might become the me that we want to be. Our scripture today is from John. John it talks about walking in darkness and walking in the light, and how important it is for us not to live in the night, but to live in the day. And notice he says you can walk in the darkness of night if you want to. You can kind of get by, but that's not the ideal. It's not what God wants for your life. And all of us have those paths, those places we are walking in the darkness, kind of getting by, shuffling along. But you know, God intends for all of us to thrive, not just to exist, not just to get by. So we want to focus on John's direction today. John's great writer, gosh, the Gospel of John and 1 John, you just hear that influence of John's church. And John's church was a church that had a lot of people, maybe more than any other church in it, that knew Jesus personally. And John says in his gospel, and now says in 1 John again, you know, we saw Jesus, we touched Jesus, we did life with Jesus, we saw the difference Jesus made in our lives, in our community, in our relationship. We came alive with Jesus. And he says, I'm writing this letter to you so that you too can come alive in that fellowship that comes from honestly knowing yourself in the light of Jesus, having a right relationship with God, and then out of that relationship, your relationships will be so much deeper and richer with those that you share life with. And so he starts then in our scripture today by just saying, God is light. And God is light. He could have said in his beginning, you know, God is judgmental, God is all powerful, God is distant in his own right, but near in his presence, all kinds of ways. He says, God is light. And he's saying, I want you to experience that light firsthand. I want you to be saved from the darkness in your life, to come into that light. And under that light, you can grow and flourish and just become more than you ever imagined you can be. So some words I want you to share today. And so John is writing, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so our prayer is that God would open our hearts and that his spirit and His light would just flood our lives, and that we would experience that light in such a way that we would be transformed in this hour, that we might be a new people in our relationship with our honesty about ourselves and with our acceptance of all the grace and mercy that God has to offer for us. Well, last week we talked about, as I said, to stop hurrying and running and start experiencing the depth of life that God intends to give to us. And today we're going to talk about stop avoiding and start facing. As you begin this year, I know you've thought and prayed over some things that you want to stop. It may be that you want to stop eating an unhealthy diet. It may be that you want to stop spending so much time on your phone. It may be that you want to stop relating negatively to those who are in your life. You want to walk another path and being very cynical about life and just down on everything and never letting grace and light and hope just exist in your world. But all of us are struggling with something that we would like to be able to address in the fact that we need to stop avoiding. Avoiding takes up a lot of energy, doesn't it? Remember last week we talked about the fact that when you want to insert a new practice in your life, you need to understand you need to start filling in early what that new practice will be, rather than just saying, I'm going to avoid this habit or this possibility or this practice within my life. Because if you create a void, you know what's going to happen. That void is going to have energy. And you're going to just suck back in whatever it is you're trying deal with and whatever you no longer want to practice. And so you have to be very proactive in starting something, even before you're committed perhaps to letting whatever it is exit out. Because there is this energy in our life that we are just not strong enough to keep pushed back unless we've got something, some habit that's happening there. It may be the habit of deepening your spiritual life, your devotional life, your prayer life, knowing you maybe need a team of people around you that are doing life with you, that allow you to be transparent and honest and deal with real issues. And so you're trying to embrace that group. Go ahead and step into whatever kind of opening you find here, whether it's Stephen Ministry, whether Shield of Faith, whether it is the study that we're introducing, whether it's a chance to serve somewhere in the church that you've been interested in. Feel free to step in to start creating so that whatever you're trying to deal with, you'll just have less energy and your time for it. We have a second car that has two computers, two too many sometimes. One operates the vehicle, the other is just the toy that gives you just multiple possibilities. And for a while, we had that computer programmed so that it would tell us how fast the vehicle was moving. So we had the auto meter, and then we had two digital readouts of how fast we were traveling. A little bit of overkill, wouldn't you say? You know, just a little overkill. So during the Christmas break, I got out the owner's manual, tinkered around a bit, and was able to narrow that down and also to bring up a program that helps us to know our mileage at the time. So quite interesting, something else to spend your time thinking about and noticing while you're driving. And so you're tooling down the interstate and, you know, you're getting 26 miles a gallon, then you get in town, especially when we've been in Atlanta and it really drops down to almost nothing. But as I thought about that readout of the mileage and the energy we were using, I also thought about this the energy we use when we are avoiding something. It's just amazing. If you had a meter on your heart, and when you were dealing with something that you're avoiding, man, it's just draining that energy from you, and you're not getting anything accomplished. In fact, it's not just draining that energy from the moment, it's draining that energy from your life, so you don't have energy then to do the things that you really want to do. And so it's doubly negative. I know stop avoiding is a double negative, but I hope at the end of the sermon we'll come out with some positives. But it just gives that sense of that drain of energy when we're avoiding something. You know some of the tenets of of avoiding, how it works. In all of the surveys, most of the surveys about what people say they avoid the most in their life, you know what they say? People. They avoid people. There are just certain people that are such a drain, and they have to avoid them. And, you know, they deal with them as best they can, but there is some avoidance there where they avoid them because often they are thick in the thin places of life. They are majoring on the minors, and they are just sapping up all the energy around them and taking from us. We know, and we can't deal with it, so we avoid people that simply are not contributing to their welfare, to our welfare, to the community of faith welfare, to the world. We know what it's like to be in those draining instances, and even when we get away from them, we still feel so drained, we don't have the energy. And so we avoid them. It's a natural part of life. Of course, you learn at times that when you need to avoid someone, you also need to just be present with them. So just walk right up, look them in the eye, put out your hand, deal with them, move on, offer as best you can the gifts that you feel you can give them through the help of the Holy Spirit, but don't avoid. That's the worst thing you can do because the avoidance just gets bigger and bigger and bigger rather than getting smaller and smaller. If you also, of course, in avoidance, we have to talk about a little procrastination. We actually have people in the church who go to the 12-step groups because they want to deal with procrastination. They don't have a drug problem, alcohol problem. It's procrastination. It's a big issue with them. It's a big issue with all of us. And we know a little bit about dealing with things that we have been avoiding, but we don't necessarily apply it, do we? You know, get out your computer, laptop, whatever, phone, a piece of paper, and then start breaking whatever the big task is down to smaller tasks. And divide it out, to kind of divide and conquer. It doesn't seem quite as big if we can break it down into smaller chunks. And then, as we talked about last week, just have the attitude, I'm going to get started. Don't come in there, I'm going to complete this, I'm going to master it, I'm just going to get started. And you'll just be amazed at how life, how this universe is created, where that if you can just get started, if you can just make that step, it just seems that there's this alignment of energy that comes with you. And it also, as Christians, we say there's a God. There's a spirit of Jesus that's available through prayer and through our life in the spirit that comes along with us as well. And God says, if you'll just get started, if you'll just make that step, I'll come along beside you. And in fact, I'll give you a whole community if you want to associate with the body of Christ, the church around you, to help you to move started. So just find that energy. And of course, always imagine what it's like to be complete and to be done with a task. Isn't that a good feeling when you finally check it off the list? And you know, most of the time, what do you think? At the very end, when you're checking it off and the endorphins are running through your brain and you're just feeling good, you say, that wasn't so bad. Why in the world did I put it off for so long and not address it earlier? What was I thinking? Man, the energy and the misery I dealt out to myself while I was waiting to do what really was not an insurmountable task. Well, a few tips to take with you, but I want to talk about a little deeper level of avoiding. John approaches it spiritually in a way that I think that touches all of us and brings us in to the moment and into the faith at a deeper level, because he says, when you're avoiding, you're walking in the darkness. You're being dishonest about yourself and your circumstance and about life. You're pretending. You're avoiding dealing with the challenges that you have. So you're walking in a darkness. And those who say that they have fellowship with God and they're building the best relationships they can with others and they're attempting to be the best self they can be after the model of Jesus, they're being dishonest about it, John says, and they're walking in darkness. And it's God's intention and God's prayer over your life that you would walk in the light. And that's how John places it. So we have fellowship with the Lord. We have fellowship with one another, he says, and the truth is within us and the light is within us, and that's the way he wants us to live life. One of the ways we avoid, of course, is just through sheer denial. Just through sheer denial. I find, the world, the funny videos, I think the world's funniest videos, I forget the proper name of that little TV 30-minute show they throw in just as a filler every once in a while. First, two or three minutes is hilarious, and then it just quickly goes to seed, and it's not worth watching. I'll share that with you as well. But I love the clips about children, of course, and there's the little guy who's into the chocolate, and he's got, chocolate all around his mouth and a big wad of chocolate in his mouth, and mom and daddy are doing the video on their phone probably, and they're saying, so Johnny, been in the chocolate again? And Johnny says, oh, no, not me. I haven't even been near the chocolate. No, not me, the chocolate all around his mouth. And we laugh because it is hilarious to a degree at that point, but it really, we're laughing a bit because that's us in our denial as well. That's us in our denial as well. The evidence is just so overwhelmingly contrary to that, and yet, in order to avoid the situation, no, that's not me. That's not me. And so sometimes people might say to us, I'm afraid you might have a drinking problem. We say, no, not me. I drink a little too much sometime. I really don't have a drinking problem. That's not having really any influence over any part of my life. I'm getting by. I'm doing all right. Someone might say, you might need to go to an anger management course. No anger in my life. If I get angry, it just lasts 35 seconds, and then I'm all right, and I'm ready to go on. I've gotten over it. I don't have an anger problem. But anger is a lot like a tornado, isn't it? A tornado that passed over my section of town a while back lasted about 23, 24 seconds, according to the measure of it. But my goodness, the damage behind it has taken us about 2 years to take care of. And anger is that way. And for us to deny that we need to, and avoid the fact we need to address our anger issues is quite significant. And we need to be able to address them. And so we basically just kind of say to one another when we see one another, I'm fine. I'm not avoiding anything. But I have to say to you, when I'm at my best, I'm running. I'm hurried. Because when I'm hurrying and busy, it kind of blocks everything, I'm avoiding. There's some things I'd just rather avoid. I'm not having some conversations that are critical and necessary, maybe in my marriage, maybe in managing life, maybe with my children. Just have some conversations about the fact that sometimes I do feel sad and cynical and disconnected and lonely. That long laundry list that belongs to all of our life. And we deny that, and we press it down, and we expend the energy to just kind of warehouse it rather than actually addressing it. And so denial is one way we avoid. And then we avoid by being distracted, don't we, of having others in our lives that distract us. If we can just stay engaged enough, we really don't have to address truly what is happening with us. Stay in those friendships and even the conversations in church very lightly. Don't get too far in because, the truth might start coming out and we might have to begin to deal with those issues. Barbara Taylor Brown's a great author. I recommend her to you. She is an honest, hard-hitting, practical, spiritual guide. And this is what she writes in her book titled Learning to Walk in the Darkness. Notice, learning to kind of tiptoe, shuffle through the darkness. Because she's such a great, radiant Christian, she knows the other side is this brilliant light that she longs to walk in as well. But she's honest enough to tell the truth about herself to write this. She's talking about avoiding her negative feelings that she has during the day through denial and being distracted. She begins by saying this, but at night, it's so hard. The distractions are hard at night. By day, I can outfox the questions by racing from one appointment to the next, by answering emails with red explanation points, taking the suddenly sick dog to the vet, rummaging the freezer for something to thaw for dinner. By day, I'm a servant of the urgent. Nothing important has a chance with me. I'm too consumed with the things that must be done to consider whether or not doing them even really matters. That's what we were talking about, being thick in the thin points of life. I'm going to just keep doing these things because they keep my mind off the gut feelings that I am avoiding. Boy, that's an honest and beautiful statement, isn't it? Avoiding those things that at the gut level are painful to us. I have a friend like you have who every time I ask him how he's doing, it's always terrific, just doing terrific. And sometimes I admire him for being able to say that with such a big exclamation mark. But other times I feel for him because I know no one is doing terrific all the time. None of us are doing terrific all the time. There are days that the car won't start, aren't they? And there are days that the dog does eat your child's homework or maybe your homework as well. They are those days that are the terrible, horrible, nasty, miserable days, times that come to all of our lives that we know are kind of that flash on the instrument panel that says something's wrong, something needs to be checked, something needs to be done. And because you've had some outward setbacks that may not be so large, there's some inner setbacks and baggage that hasn't been dealt with. And we kind of maybe take out our handkerchief or just take a sheet of paper and just kind of in our lives and put it over that red blinking light and say, well, I'll ignore that, I'll avoid it, I'll just deal with it some other time. Because there are times that we can't avoid the fact that there are some red lights in all of our lives that are flashing. So where do we get to as we deal with this? Where does it bring us to when we begin to be honest about ourselves and honest with our Lord? It goes way back in the Bible to the story of Adam and Eve, doesn't it? Adam has eaten of the forbidden fruit, and God says to Adam, notice you ate from the tree of the forbidden fruit. And he says, well, yes, I did, Lord. It's that woman, you know, it's that woman you gave me. She's so cute and mischievous and has just power hold over me. You may be sitting by your Eve today, and it's just miraculous. But boy, she can get me to jump through the hoops when no one else can. And back when it was just the animals and I, it went a lot better. But then Eve came along. Man, you don't understand this woman and how powerful she is in my life. And of course, Eve's statement about Satan in her life, you know, and he told me that it would be such a pleasurable thing to eat of the forbidden fruit, and there were no consequences, and so I believed him. And Lord, where did Satan come from in this serpent? You can't imagine. And so that diverting of the responsibility, a practice that we experience in our lives as well. But John comes back to counterbalance that by saying, you can rely on the forgiveness of God because of the character and righteousness of God. And this is where we can begin, and this is so powerful within our lives. And this is the God of this Lord Jesus Christ that we love so much, that we have seen and touched and felt and experienced and helped us to find the path of light that we have wanted to walk in. And that light has brought hope to us. One other story that relates to this from the New Testament, I think, in a powerful way, is the story that Jesus told himself about walking in the light and how to get in the light and find the light. And he tells the story of the publican and the tax collector going to church to pray. And the publican's prayer basically is, Lord, I'm better than anybody else here. You know, diverting and being distracted. So I must be doing okay. I'm a little bit above Hitler and I'm a little bit below Mother Teresa, but there's a lot of space in there, Lord. And so I'm just doing all right, you know. Here's the report card. I've done, you know, well this week, kind of 6 out of 10. You know, that must be okay. And Jesus talks about that individual. And he knew the publicans represented those people who, at least outwardly, kind of had it together. You know, they were good moral people, good steady eddies right hanging in there. John would certainly relate to this as he tries to nurture the church along into this individual. There's another individual that everybody knows there's not much right in his life. He's overtaxing everybody around him, charging too much. He's in a position of power that he is abusing. And so he can charge what he wants to when he collects taxes, and whatever he doesn't have to pay his governments, then he keeps for himself. And he just plagues everybody's life and to some degree. But in this moment, Jesus says, you know, this individual came to the Lord. And he said, you know, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, you know, we can bring that report card, our checkoff list, kind of our best attempt, and some of it will look pretty good, but there's that opportunity to stop avoiding the whatever we may be avoiding in our life, just not to kind of plead our case with, well, I'm doing pretty good, aren't I? I'm attending church. I'm at least contributing to the community of faith. I'm getting by in my relationships. But he says, you know, God wants you at that point. God needs to have you at that point where you, like this tax collector, says, Lord, I need mercy. I truly need mercy. I can't do it alone. I'm not meant to do it alone. A big part of John Ortberg's writing is that we are not our own handiwork. You are not your own project by yourself, just kind of trying to get by, trying to measure up, but that we are God's project. God wants his hands in our lives, in our spirits all the time. And what triggers that partnership, that deep partnership, in our lives is when we confess. And so John just kind of honestly says, you know, we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive those sins. When we come clean, when we are honest, God works in a powerful way, in a way that he can't work with us when we just kind of say, well, I'm doing the best I can, and God, if you'll compare me with everybody else, you know, I'll look pretty good maybe. That's not where John wants us to be. But he says, I want you to know the joy and the depth and the life and the energy in your life. God wants you to flourish, not just to get by, not to just be pretty good at life, not to constantly avoid what needs to be addressed, but because there are always things that need to be addressed. And we are not meant to do it alone. But when we connect with God and when we help others to connect with God, the miracle of what God brings into our lives is just unbelievable. I don't know if you ever know anything about Joanna and Chip Gaines. They're on the Home and Garden television network. They do home renovations. They stepped out of their position a while back, out of their TV role. They make about $14 million a year because they have a decor line and a renovation business and cookbooks and display houses and architectural plans. I mean, this, they want you to think they're just the folks, the couple down the street, you know, the next door neighbors who does a little home renovation. But they show someone some homes that are shabby, run down, and says, now look, for the cash you have to work with, or for the loan that you have to work with, you can buy this house, and then this is what we can do with it. You know, we can knock out some walls, and we can almost completely reconstruct it, and it'll be an amazing place once we're finished. And people gravitate towards it. I don't think they're there because of their home renovation gifts, but the fact that all of us buy in emotionally so deeply in the fact, this could be my life. What John says is, this could be your life. And if you could come clean and come openly and come honestly and stop pretending, you have no clue what I'm able to do for you. You don't know what God can do for you through Jesus Christ. And so he says, you know, stop walking the darkness, stop avoiding, stop putting off what you know you need to do and you need to address, and let the power of God flow within your life. I hope every one of you have thought about some point in your life, where you are avoiding. We have a great worship leaders are going to come and lead us. We just have a closing that has worked out so well in our worship planning this week. I'll invite you to look at your order service. You'll find the song, Fear is a Liar. And that fear that keeps us avoiding because we think God's not merciful enough and God's not powerful enough and God's not going to equip us enough to deal with what we are avoiding. This fear just keeps us from being honest about ourselves, keeps us pretending, and just steals our authenticity and our relationship with God and one another and even with our true selves. And so the verse 1, when fear told you you're not good enough, when fear told you you're not right, when fear told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, When fear told you you're not worthy, when fear told you you're not loved, when fear told you you're not beautiful, that you'll never be enough, then that's my word, remember. Remember, fear is a liar, and he will take your breath and stop you in your steps and help you to keep avoiding. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. So cast fear in the fire, cause fear, he's a liar. And then that wonderful bridge that I hope you can pray today as we hear this song and as we sing it in the very closing. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Help me to face, Lord, what I've been avoiding. Let your fire fall until your love is all I feel. Bring your cleansing. As John says, God is continually cleansing our life, continually showing us mercy and grace.